Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 14 of season 5. If you've just joined, this is Robin of Out of Tired Witch on everywhere. And I'm joined by the beautiful, talented, effortless Maria of Maria the Arcane.
100% everywhere. Effortless, baby. 100%.
If you've just joined us, if this is your first episode ever, as a reminder, we have a Patreon, and on that Patreon, we have monthly classes. This month's class is going to be on September 29th at 12:30 Pacific Standard Time for our class of Tarot for Creativity with Chelsea Pippin Mizzi. This is available for everyone from the library tier and up. And as a reminder, if you do join us on Patreon, you also get the backlog of the previous 19 classes. So get in there, join us. We've also got a whole community. If you're interested in the community, you do need to be in the Coven tiers. And as a update for anybody who is joining, we have made the Discord. If you join, whether it's from the free tier all the way up to the spell, what is our top tier? Spellcasters? No.
Yeah, spellcaster.
Whatever the mentorship tier is called.
Not spellcaster. That's Scrying Mirror. Scrying,
thank you. Thanks, Queen.
You're welcome.
If you're new in the Discord, you do need to go to the start here option and pick your pronouns. Otherwise, you won't be able to see anything. We are trying our best to make sure nobody gets misgendered. So please pick your pronoun, and then the Discord will have full, it'll open up for you.
Yes.
We've had a few people that have sent messages being like, I can't see anything. And it's like, well, you haven't picked your pronouns, so please do that.
Thank you.
Please do that. We are moving into spooky season. Next month is going to be ghost story heavy. So as a reminder, if you would like to be featured on a Coffee Talk episode, you have two ways to connect with us there. You can either leave us a voicemail at 351-207-0799. As a reminder, the voicemails do have a 3-minute cap. Just call back and we'll smash it all together. Or you can send us a written ghost story by email at submissions@coffeeandcauldrons.com. Yeah. We are very excited. We've got a couple of them, so I'm pretty jazzed.
I know,
about it.
And we're getting closer to spooky season. Well, we are in spooky season now, I guess, since autumn equinox just happened. So please, send us creepy stories, especially you nurses, retired home workers. We want to hear your stories because we know you got them. We know you got them.
Yes. Please tell us. We know you got them. Tell us your stories.
Make me scared. I want to be scared.
Oh, and later this episode, we are joined by author and artist Christine Blystone to talk about flower magic, which is so exciting and fun.
Yes. Very excited.
Very exciting. So let's get into the rest of the episode. Yeah. Yay. Just join us this episode. Every episode, we talk about upcoming lunar phases and how you can utilize those in your magical practice. The nearest one to now is going to be on October 3rd, which is the new moon in Libra. And new moons in Libra are ideal for the obvious, which is balance. Libra is all about balance. If you're looking at it from a tarot card, it is justice. You have the little scales, right? And in new moons, we're looking at starting new things. So this would be a good time to set intentions that are about pursuing goals that include more balance in your life. So maybe this is better balance between your social and your work life, maybe better balance between treats and, quote, health food, or balance between, joy and work. It's about setting that balance starting out phase, jump start type thing. So it deals with goals and goal setting, right? Libra new moons are also a really good time to explore things like beauty and reciprocity, how we deal with our relationships and things that kind of spark that emotional bloom within us. Mm-hmm. You can tell that I've been reading smut books. things that water our flower.
So gross.
Sorry. I'm very pretty. But it is about reciprocity. It is about beauty and our connections with people. So specifically, if we are not going to be looking at the balance aspect of things, instead tapping into that kind of more beautifying and sensual connection that we see with Libra is really good. Maybe this is a time to do some self-exploration sex magic. Maybe this is a really good time to, if you and your partner are working on rekindling things or doing anything that deals with adult dancing.
Adult dancing. Like dirty dancing, Robin? Dirty dancing?
Having sex in a new and terrifying way. I'm so scared. No, this would be a time to kind of explore that with your partner. If your partner is open to your magical world, maybe we're going to do a little sensual ritual. Maybe that ritual deals with sharing honey and oranges together. Maybe that ritual deals with putting some chili peppers underneath your beds to get some stuff going, you know what I mean? In a new and terrifying way.
Yeah.
I'm so scared. Yeah.
Robin's telling you she wants you all to try BDSM. Yes.
Yes. Right. Let's get out the ropes, guys. Let's find our safe word and let's get into some scary new power dynamics.
Robin's safe word is I'm just a QP. Leave me alone.
I'm just a baby. I'm just a little baby.
But
you should be exploring some fun new things if you're not going to be working on balance. And if we're moving into, what's that called? Cuffing season? Mm-hmm. Okay, we're moving into cuffing season. So let's start hunkering down.
Yes. And speaking of that, and it being cuffing season, it's also cozy season. And I think, like, you know,
that's what we're talking about. We're talking about watering flowers, Maria.
Yes, I'm aware. But outside of, like, getting freaky in the bedroom.
Right?
But Libras are also about, like, romanticizing their lives, like, taking things slowly and just, like, being
true.
Stuff that makes them cozy and, like, doing stuff they enjoy, like, and finding, like, the pleasures, even in, like, responsibilities and things that we have to do. And that's a great thing to, like, set intentions towards, like, heading into, like, cozy and comfort season. But I do think, since we do have the Aries full moon next month, too, I do think Robin's correct about, like, making things spicy. And then also, like, with the Justice card, it's, like, honoring your inner truth, which is how I see the Justice card in a lot. And I think, like, that Aries aspect too, like, embracing who you are as an individual in October, like, setting intentions towards that would be, like, a really great and fabulous idea, alongside with Robin's, like, you know, go dom your husband attitude.
If you're gonna start pegging, this is the time to do it, okay?
Dirtiest episode ever.
Yeah, the sexiest episode. Frank's gonna listen to this in editing and be like, I don't want to be pegged. Well, tough. I'm just kidding. Don't do that. That was a joke. You should listen to your partners when they say no.
Yeah,
that was a joke.
Frank's safe word is also, I'm just a QP.
I'm just a baby, please.
So, every episode we talk about tarot cards. Previous seasons we've gone over like individual meanings of cards, and the last season we went over like the whole sections in tarot. This season we're concentrating on themes we see in tarot and the cards we think we fit in that particular theme. We think it's just a great way to help you guys develop that storytelling aspect that's so important and pivotal when it comes to reading tarot for ourselves and others, and just give you like a deeper understanding of the cards and even like different like kind of like opinions about the cards, so you can form your own unique opinion yourself. You might not agree with us, but that's okay. You know, it's always great to see other options out there. But anyways, this theme that we're concentrating on this month is romanticizing your life. We thought we'd go off of that whole Libra new moon energy going to be happening, and yeah, let's dive right in. So my first card, I chose the Fool, and the Fool is very good at romanticizing his life. Like, he just goes for things. He doesn't care about what's going to go wrong. He just wants to go out there and do it. Yeah. And spontaneous, you know, he wants to be spontaneous, just experience things. Like, things might go wrong, yes, but he's going to learn from those experiences, and he's going to put that knowledge in his little knapsack and carry on with his journey. He just wants to enjoy said journey. So yeah, the Fool is just about going out there and just doing things, and for this sake of like experiencing it. Like, life ebbs and flows no matter what, but that's okay. That is completely okay. And then the next card I chose is the Knight of Cups. So this card, to me, I know Robin views the knights as like the four, you know, horsemen of the apocalypse, but I view them differently.
Of course you do.
The knights to me are just about...
Tell me you're a lesbian without telling me. Go on.
Oh, I will. So I view the knights as like a step up from the pages. Like, they've already learned. They plan. Now it's all about action and seeing things through. And this night is all about like taking things slow when it comes to like experiencing his happiness. Like, his when he goes to work, he's all about like finding the joy in work and being present in said work in a way where it actually feels fulfilling and not just like him going through the motions of it like the Knight of Pentacles sometimes does. But yeah, and it's also about like kind of, you know, the knight on the Rider Waite-Smith deck is kind of like gazing at the cup as he's riding his horse. And I think that's just keeping an eye on like the happiness that you want to cultivate in your life and, you know, just concentrating on self for a moment.
Yeah.
Can the Knight of Cups be kind of selfish? Yes. But sometimes we do, like I say this for some of the cards, sometimes we do have to be selfish in order to take care of ourselves and also to remain sane in this, like, you know, pre-apocalyptic world. But yeah, so the next card I chose is the Empress. I mean, who is better at like romanticizing their life than the Empress is? Like, the Empress is just like, all this stuff is happening around her. Like, she's growing and she's claiming her identity. She's just relaxing in the field of what she has already cultivated and turned out in her life, and she knows that whatever she needs, she's going to receive either from like the things that she does in order to attain them or just from the universe. Like, she knows that she is supported by the earth around her, by the universe, so she is not worried about like struggling. Yes, she's very lucky. But I think it's also like her story is about growing where you are planted and claiming that identity for yourself, claiming who you are, who you are in the here and now. And like, when you do that, like, you do have the ability to romanticize your life rather than like looking at other people's lives and romanticizing theirs and being envious of theirs. All of our Empress, like, what's the word? Archetypes look different, and that should be celebrated rather than like wanting what someone else's like Empress archetype looks like to them. Hopefully that makes sense. Does that make sense?
It does. I think so.
Thank you. How about you? What are your three?
My first one, I was going to say, just kind of going off what you were saying with the Empress, I also think that because we're talking about romanticizing your life, because the Empress also is a mother card,
mm-hmm.
but she's specifically pregnant. There's so mm-hmm. much in making a child, like, physically within one's body,
mm-hmm.
that you kind of start wondering, what's this person going to be like? What are they going to look like? And there's a lot of romanticizing that comes with that.
Mm-hmm. I love that. That's so sweet. As an anecdote. I love that very much.
Can you tell I just had a baby? okay, so my first card is the Six of Cups. And the Six of Cups very specifically talks about nostalgia. But mm-hmm. when we are looking at things in a nostalgic light, we can also find ourselves romanticizing the ideas of people and the ideas of things that happened. Only, like, it's kind of like when you break up with somebody and you are only remembering the really good things and romanticizing this relationship that wasn't very good. So while romanticizing your life kind of has this tone of being really positive, sometimes it's toxic positivity, right?
It gives 500 days of summer.
No, actually, literally that.
Yeah.
Then we have the Ten of Cups, and the Ten of Cups is all, we've got a theme happening here, if you can tell. The Ten of Cups is all about that kind of idyllic lifestyle. It is seeing the absolute best in scenarios and in people, and it's kind of looking at our life and going, wow, this is great.
That's so sweet. I love that so much.
Well, because, like, the fact of the matter is even in the Ten of Cups as, like, a Rider-Waite-Smith imagery, right? Mm-hmm. You are seeing, like, the kids playing and them looking at the rainbow and all this, but there's a lot not seen in the card, right?
Mm-hmm.
So are we seeing the structure and stability of a safe household? Not necessarily in that picture. Are we seeing the two adults that we assume are the parents of the family? We don't see their faces. We mm-hmm. see their backs. And in these symbolic imageries, right? When you see the back to somebody, there's a lot of unknown that comes with that. And so it is very much so about this romantic idea where we are in the moment and loving it and enjoying it, but there's still a lot that isn't seen because nothing is ever actually perfect.
Yeah, that's why I call it a dream card. Like, to me, the Nine of Cups is the completion, just because, you know, happiness is not something you could ever complete or get to, like, right. the bottom of.
Yeah. And then my last one is the Nine of Pentacles, which is the kept woman. She's living her best life. She's in her beautiful garden. She's got her fruit of her, you know, labor, whether it's metaphorical or from stealing from rich men. But she's the kept woman. Her life is romantic and wonderful. It is having all these things that she needs and wants, and she can just kind of relish in that.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice. Yeah.
It is nice.
I wish it was me, girl.
Right.
I want to be a kept woman. I want to read my little books and do my little sewing projects all day.
I know, right? Sometimes when this card pops up at me, I'm like, guys, like, what life Screw am I you. Living? This is not it.
This is not it.
No, I think it's a whole, like, treasuring what you have already cultivated.
Yes.
Like, appreciate yes. it.
Yes, she's correct. it's okay, though, to also say, hey, I wish this was me. Jot that down.
True. So today we are joined by Christine Blystone. Thank you so much for joining us. You're the author of Magic Flowers, and you create tons of little plant ally decks that are adorable, and I love them so much. I love the little illustrations and the little poems on the inside, 10 out of 10. But yeah, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It is awesome to be here. It's such an honor. I love your podcast, and it's like a magical morning to be here. So thank you.
Yeah.
I'm glad you joined us. And if you guys are in the Spellcaster tier on Patreon, you might recognize Flower Magic with Christine, because we did one of her little oracle decks.
Yes.
It was 2 or 3 months ago, I think.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was really good.
It was. So, for our first little question, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got started in witchcraft, and what does your practice look like now?
Yeah. So I am a writer and an illustrator and a witch. And I think that I've always been a little witchy, as I think most of us are. Like, you can kind of like trace that thread back to even like being a child and just being interested in nature and seasons and all the things. But my practice really started to ramp up in the beginning of 2015. I shut down a previous small business that I was running. I was making these like retro neckties for women. I was under the brand Flapper Girl, and I basically had just like turned into a sweatshop, and I just did not want to be sewing for money anymore, and I just needed a break. And so at the time, my husband was in grad school, and we had this ritual every morning where we would like make tea, light some incense, and start our day that way, just like hanging out in the living room and talking. And so that got me really interested in making my own incense and learning about what kind of plants and resins go in there. And really, it's like that thing of you dip your toe into the plant world and it just sucks you in.
That's true.
And yeah, and as I started, you know, learning about plants and really cultivating deeper relationships with them, I got sucked in more and more. And then, yeah, I started drawing plants and writing poems about plants. And then I wrote my book, and that was its own magical thing. So right now, you know, kind of like post three decks, post the book, I'm in the middle of getting a larger deck of cards together. So I've spent the last few weeks doing more writing. I spent the summer drawing more plants. Like, this time it's 30, so we're going to round it out to a deck of 60, and it's going to be a little bigger and in color with its own box. So right now, I feel like I'm coming off the tail end of this big sort of like arc of like more drawing and more writing and more kind of like deepening into those relationships. So that's like one part of my practice. But the other part is being in my garden and planting plants, growing them, learning about them that way. I'm big into, instead of asking a plant, hey, what can you do for me, that you actually like approach them and say, hi, who are you? Like, how can I get to know you? Like, that way, you know? And I feel like when you do that, plants have a lot to say to you. Even though a lot of my practice is in like the writing and drawing world, I really make sure that I also ground myself in nature as much as I can, just because it is lovely and it helps everything across the board. It just helps me in my life. So,
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, I didn't know you did your own illustrations. That's amazing.
That is amazing.
And that's a wild story because, back in 2016, like, my family kind of went through this wild spiritual crisis that, like, TLDR, like, there was a haunting. And anyway, I ended up needing to have this time, like, on Monday nights where I just had this hour, like, post all of this to, like, sort of, like, heal, where I just started to draw. And like, I remember the first drawing I did, and I was like, this is like worse than a kindergartner. And I remember like talking to my husband about it, and he was just like, he's like, you can do this. He's like, every human can draw. He's like, what it is that at some point in our lives, we decide that we can't, whether we're told by someone older than us that we can't do it, or we see someone else that's better than us, and we just decide that we can't do it. He's like, but it's in all of us. He's like, you can do it. And so having that, yeah. And then having that hour to just like focus and quiet, I just started doing it. And, I came back like that first night after, you know, the second one, and it was like getting better. And I was like, you're right. Like, I can do this. And so I think that's just another example of when you are in relationship with a plant that they can kind of like help you figure some stuff out and help you get back in touch to some parts of yourself that you had lost along the way, which I love.
Yeah.
When I was in college, because I went to an art university, the big theme that came up was there are people that are naturally gifted artistically, but all they have is a head start to the same finish. And I think a lot of people don't realize that. They get very discouraged because they see somebody else who has this head start, when the reality is that, you know, it's no different than being an athlete or something like that. We can all do it. It's just some people had that leg up as a start.
Exactly. Exactly.
So I will ask you, as somebody who works with plants, how has that kind of transformed your practice? Like just not just as a witch, but just as a spiritual person in general.
Yeah. Gosh, I know. I feel like it totally just like drags you into the spiritual world, and like maybe not drag, but they like hold your hand and they take you there. And it's funny too.
Dragging.
Yeah, exactly. They're like, you don't want to go, it's fine, but really you need to come. It's good for you. Like, just trust us on this. And I think that's the thing, is that like I've really learned to trust them in that. When I wrote my book, I feel like that was like its own initiation. It's like I had been, you know, writing poetry and drawing these plants, and then I wanted to take everything to a deeper level. And so my book is a mix of like plant folklore and experimental memoir, because I think that as humans, we really learn through story, you know?
I agree.
Yeah. And so that was my intent. And my other intent was I was like, I want to write this book, but I want to get closer to my grandmother who passed away in 2003. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know how that was going to happen. I just like put that out there because she was so cool, and she died when I was like 21. So like, I didn't get to know her as an adult, if that makes any sense. And she was like a plant. She was like a gardener, a plant whisperer. Like the stories that have come out about her in the past years have been amazing. Like she was also a writer, and she, like what an aunt told me, that she said that she was like channeling the spirit of Edgar Rice Burroughs to like write her stuff. And she was like way into astrology, and she had like all of her kids' birth charts. Like, and this is like before the internet, but you know, so she had to like do like crazy research, like get all this information. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, I just felt so connected to her, even though, I didn't necessarily feel connected, but I wanted to be connected to her. I'm like, this is a person who like, I wish I had in my life now, who I could talk to and like, you know, ask her questions and like get all these crazy answers. Mm-hmm. And, because in so many ways she was so ahead of her time. And then writing my book, like I did that, like, and I feel like the plants were there to help support me through that and to like help guide me to like get more in touch with her. And she's a character in my book. And irises were her flower. And they're my favorite flower because it always reminded me of my grandma. And when I was writing this book, there's a chapter where I go back in time to her garden when I was a kid. And I remember when I started writing that, I was like, I just wish I had a picture of her garden. Like, cause you know, as a writer, like you want to like look at something and like grab details that you can write about. And there was no pictures anywhere. And unfortunately, like all of the family photos on my dad's side, this was my dad's mom. They got destroyed in this crazy like flooding. Right. And so there was nothing. And, so I just had to go off memory. And then just a few months ago, my dad met with his brothers and sisters. He's one of nine, and someone brought two.
Nine.
She's also like a mom to nine kids. Yeah. So Kish. She
had the time for a garden.
Jeez, like, yeah, totally. So he someone brought out these two photo albums, and my dad brought them home because he was going to scan them, and he brought them over and was showing me, and we're going through, and in the very back of that album, there are three photos of her garden, and the one on top is like this bed of irises, and I was just like, hi grandma. And but what a treat to like need that photo. It didn't exist, the book is done, and then like I just get to like have that and enjoy that. And I was just like, hi grandma, thank you Iris, like thank you Iris for like all the creativity and connecting to my grandma and just like for all that beauty. It was awesome.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I love that. That's such a sweet story.
That's a really sweet story. And it's so nice when there's these little pockets of signs from somebody that it's like, no, here, you know?
Yeah, yeah, 100%.
And speaking of forming relationships with plants, like, what are your methods of forming relationships with plants? Like, what do you recommend to witches who want to start, like, allyships with the plants that they're using?
I love this question. So I think that the first thing, which I think is just the easiest, is to just spend time hanging out with them. If you have a journal, I would say as you're spending time, like be open to any messages you might receive, jot down any impressions. But then I have five questions that I love to do, and I'll share them right now. And this is the first ritual that's actually in my book. So the first thing I do is I just write 10 quick word associations down, and it's just supposed to be just let the words come up. Like if it doesn't make sense, it doesn't matter. Write it down anyway. So that's like step one. And then the second question is, what healing truths are you receiving from this plant? The other one is, what is this plant trying to reveal to you about your own innate magic? What feelings come up around these messages from this plant? And what are some ways you can bring the spirit of this plant into your life? And I think if you start there, like that's mm-hmm. a beautiful entryway into getting to know a plant. I also really love flower essences. I learned how to make them. I took Asia Suler's intuitive plant medicine class online the first year that she like opened that up, and it was amazing. And I love the way she teaches you how to do that, but it's very simple. And you can learn, I'm sure there's so many ways you can learn about that online. And so that would be like my second little tidbit is like work with flower essences. Cause they're very subtle, but they're very potent, and you can make your own. And then the other one that's really easy is bring flowers into your home. They have such a positive impact on your mood and your overall well-being. And I love to shower my plants and my flowers in my yard, in my garden, with so much just like love and good energy. I learned this from both my mother-in-law, Nancy, who does that. And she's like a master gardener. And I also learned it from Rico Sech, who is, he has a farm called Strictly Medicinal. It's down in Williams, Oregon, and mm-hmm. he sells a lot of plants and seeds. And one, I just love his like little instructions on his seed packets, because they're not like the usual like Ed Hume thing. They're very like, you can tell he has like personal relationships with plants, and it comes through in his instructions on like how to grow them. Mm-hmm. But he also has a really amazing book called The Medicinal Herb Grower, where he shares a lot of like practical advice, but also some of his own just like spiritual wisdom from growing plants over like many decades. And that was one of the things that was in his book too. He was like, always like shower your plants and your flowers with lots of like love and good energy. And when you're planting a seed, like put your hands on the soil, like tamp it down and say like, grow baby grow. And I think that if you want to garden or start growing plants, like that would be like my first little tidbit to tell anyone is like the energy you put into your garden is important. Like don't skip over that step.
Yeah. I love that. Oh, and I love that you incorporate journaling prompts too with your.
We're huge stuff. Fans of journaling.
Yes, yes we are. 100%.
I'm working on my next book, and people are going to be so irritated with how many journal prompts are in it. But like, I think everyone should journal.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's such like it's such an accessible thing to do. Like,
yeah,
you know, you can. Like, it's just great. Like, I know, like, when I was writing my book, I was like, I want rituals in here. But you know how sometimes, like, you buy, like, a really cool book, but it makes you want to buy, like, 10 different expensive, like, ingredients? It's like, journaling is so great because, like, anyone can do
it. If you have a phone, you can journal. If you have a pen and paper, you can journal. Mm-hmm. Like, you can literally, you don't need very much to be able to do it. It doesn't need to be fancy. You can get a $1 spiral bound from the dollar store, the five quarter store now.
Or if you're like me, who like collects like all the decorative journals, just pick which one you want to use that day. Why are you holding yourself to just like using one? If you're like, I want to collect them all, like just go with where the vibes take you.
Where are the vibes at today?
Exactly.
So our next question is, what role does do seasons play in your connection with plants? And do you have any advice to people who are trying to connect with nature and we're moving into the colder months? So perhaps we don't have the same access to flowers as we would in June or what is it that April showers bring May flowers?
I love this question. Seasons definitely play a role. I'm in my garden a lot in the spring and early summer, and then as summer goes on, I tend to be drawing. I also tend to draw a lot in the winter too, but this is the whole reason why I actually made my decks, because how do you connect with a plant when it's not in season? And I was drawing and these plants and writing poems about them, because each poem encapsulates the personality of the plant. And so, you know, if I am wanting to work with mullein in January, I can, you know, take out my mullein card out of my deck and work with it, put it on my altar, journal with it. It acts like as a talisman when they're not available. And I also like to, you can always like dry plants and use them later in the year if you'd like. I always do a seasonal herb bundle from my garden. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I would just say, when they're not in season, find some kind of talisman, even if it's not, you know, my deck. It can be something else, something that represents the plant to you, that you can work with on your altar or your journal. I love having sort of like the talisman aspect to kind of like anything you need to work with, you know? So, yeah.
Yeah. That makes
sense. I think that's really clever. And I know that when we got your Oracle decks for the box, you sent little like wooden discs to put them on. And I thought that was so clever. I didn't realize that that's what it was at first because I had it upside down. And then I realized and I was like, that's so smart because you can do exactly what you're describing. Mm-hmm. Put it there, have it sat there. Just really, I thought it was very clever.
Thanks.
100%. I love using like cards and stuff on the altar because I really do think like our altars are like portals to like what we, you know, our intentions. And so like putting a card there that you super connect with is, you know, a great idea, or a plant that you super connect with. But so how do you feel that poetry deepens your understanding about magical properties? And if so, in what ways?
Yeah, I love writing poetry. So I even did it as a kid. I recently found like an old journal in my parents' house of like really simple poems that I wrote when I was like five that were hilarious. But I think that if you're feeling intimidated about writing, I think that poetry can be another easy entryway. You know, it's not saying like, I'm going to write 500 words on something. It's literally saying I can literally write like 20 words on something. I can write 10 words on something. I really love to write poetry outside. All of my decks I've written outside somewhere. The first deck, it was on Mount St. Helens. There's some really pretty buttes around my house that I go to sometimes. I think there's something about getting quiet, like literally like getting into a quiet space for me that helps me connect into my intuition, helps me connect into nature, helps me connect to these plants. When I have the quiet, then my brain can finally like be sort of like that receiver of messages. And I will say this too, for anyone wanting to write, first drafts are always terrible. Like the point is to just like get it out, make a shape of something. And then there's so much magic to be had in the editing process. That is when you like take the shape and like really start to like flesh out the details. And I keep all of my journals that I've written my poetry in, I keep, because every time I go to write a new set, like I'm a human. So I'm just like, oh God, is this a time where like, I can't do it anymore? Like, is this a time where like I turn into a hack or whatever? And then I always like look through those old journals. I'm like, no, these all were terrible. Like it's the editing and sort of like having the time to let those messages and those shapes like percolate for a while that's when like, you know, everything sort of like smooths out and becomes this more, what a word am I looking for? This like, just like beautiful object that you were hoping to create in the first place.
It is
place.
The doodle before the sculpture.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
Well, now I don't want to put you on the spot because I did, just for the listeners, I did forget to send Christine here the questions beforehand, but do you have any poems that you would like to share with our listeners that have like this kind of reflection of a significant moment of relationship with you and plant?
Yeah, I would love to. So I have my little Mullen card here, and to me, Mullen has been such a grandmotherly plant to me. Mm-hmm. And so I'll read you the poem that I have on the back of my Mullen card. Long silver streaks glisten softly as she hums a lullaby and stirs a pot on the flame. There, baby, she says. There is magic in her strength and strength in her softness.
I love that so much.
Thanks. And yeah, I think Mullen, you know, I told you that Iris really helped me connect to my grandmother, but so did Mullen. Mullen is such a grandmotherly plant to me. And
I'm a huge Mullen fan. Like, yeah. I am somebody who works with spirits and death. And Mullen is, in my opinion, the bridge gap between us and not just spirit, but memory and just all the things that deal with loss, right? And I think it's such an amazing plan. I'm really glad you shared that one.
Thank you. And I just got goosebumps with you saying that because, like, especially when I was writing my book, I feel like Mullen was exactly how you just described that. Like, she was there and she was just, like, helping me pull things from the other side and pull things from my memory. And just, I just love her so much. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I like to think of actually like Motherwort, Mugwort, and Mullen, like they're all the like three, you know, like grandmotherly crones. Yeah, yes, they each represent like a different face of the crone. Like,
yes,
I know,
yes.
Motherwort is supposed to be connected to the mother.
Look at us three just brainstorming.
I love it.
Well, first of all, Christine, thank you so much for joining us today. This has been an amazing chat. I'm sure our listeners will love it. Before we release you back to the wild, could you please remind our listeners where they can find you, remind them of your book, and just any other information that they can check you out with later? And as a reminder, listeners, this information will be in the caption, but I'd still like to hear it from Christine first.
Absolutely. Well, before I get into that, I just want to thank you again for having me. This is like an awesome start to my week. This is like a dream come true. I'm so excited to like connect with you both and just have a fun conversation about plants and magic and flowers. You can find me at velvetback.com. That will take you to my Etsy store. My book is called Magic Flowers. It's in my Etsy shop. If you order from me, you get a free bookmark. I will load you down with other stickers and a playlist that goes along with the book and all those things. You can also find me on Instagram at _velvetback_.
Awesome. Thank you so much for joining us. Now I need to go journal and get all my plants and just like...
just getting a lay in the flowers yeah. while they're still in some.
Exactly.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
So, Robin,
don't make me laugh.
Sorry, but that head whip, the. Was so funny. Sorry, go ahead. Sorry, we're very professional.
So, Robin, what is stirring your cauldron right now?
Thank you so much for asking.
Oh, you're so welcome.
What is stirring my cauldron right now is pocket altars.
Yeah. Oh, I like, love a good I'm pocket altar.
Down such a rabbit hole with pocket altars. First of all, I'm going to make some. There's a project coming up that Maria and I are working on for a group retreat. And I want to make pocket altars for everybody who comes. But I am working on my own pocket altar because why would I start with everyone else when I could start with me? Okay. And in doing that, I found, I'm going to just grab one of them.
Nine of Pentacles. Pocket
Santa Muertes. Pocket ones. I got a full set of them. Like, first of all, who gave her permission to be so adorable? Okay. But secondly, like, what a useful thing, because if you, I don't know if anybody knows that much about Santa Muerte, but different colors of her represent different things. So mm-hmm. having a full set of them means that I can make myself a universal pocket altar for her. And then mm-hmm. I can make a little pocket for my pocket Santa Muerte to sit in. Oh my. Genius. I'm so like so
excited for you.
I'm so jazzed about it. It's so fun. Like, what a great thing. And I'm going to basically make her a little thing so she can come with me.
I love that.
How fun.
Very much. That is so cute.
How fun.
What a find. What a find.
That was a Etsy find. yeah.
Etsy saves a day so many times.
Once again, 12 out of 10. I'm so obsessed with it. I'm going to make this whole thing. I've got a whole vision in my brain for it. She's going to have a little pocket for her to sit in and come with me. How fun is that?
That's so cute. 10 out of 10. Good decision. Yeah.
So, Maria, what's not stirring your cauldron this week?
Oh, I'm going to tell you.
So, once again, it is witch season. And witch season means people are going to be on threads and on Instagram and on TikTok telling people what they should and should not be doing in their practice. Some of them, yes, absolutely valid. Other people are just like... because other people's practices don't look like theirs, they're like, you're doing it wrong. You're absolutely doing it wrong. You're not treating that plant correctly. You're not like doing spells correctly. You're using the wrong ingredients and stuff like that. Are some points valid? Absolutely. 100%. Absolutely. But there's some that's like, you're just angry because someone's not practicing the way that you do or the way that you were taught to do, and you're putting that mm-hmm. on other witches and being like, you're not doing it right, which is so confusing because once again, it is witch season. So you have like all these new witches who are so excited to like start practicing and like doing things, and like they have, you know, that amazing like rose colored glasses about their practice right now, and they're actively enjoying stuff and exploring stuff. And then like there's these Debbie Downers that are like on social media trying to be like, no, actually you're doing it wrong and your practice is shit and you should just not be practicing whatsoever. And I think it's just, it's so horrible and so awful. Like, and I get, like, there's witches out there who have been practicing for years and, you know, they're like, this has worked for me and it's amazing and stuff like that. And, but then they'll, like, in the next breath be like, look down at a new witch and be like, completely tear apart their practice, even though, like, the practice is working for said witch. And it's like, if it's working for them, like, shut up. Like, obviously they're doing something right.
If it ain't broke, why fix it?
Yeah. And I just think people, like, go on social media and they have all these opinions and they think, like, they are...
they're divisive for divisiveness sake.
That, well, that, and they think that they're an expert and that they are, have the, what's the word? The ability to be, criticize other people because of their own practice. And it's like, if you think you have the ability to criticize other people's practices, then you're not as good of a witch as you think you are. Because you're missing out on the knowledge.
Get their ass, Maria.
Everyone is different, and that should be celebrated. And just because someone's not doing it the way that you were taught to do it, doesn't mean that it's wrong. Like, we all come from different cultures and different backgrounds, and acting like that does not exist is so toxic, and it creates, like, an environment for new witches not being able to thrive. Like, just shut your mouth, take a seat, share what you are doing in your practice. Maybe it will actually resonate with someone, but you, like, going and, like, tearing other people apart, like, in threads, let's say, you're not gonna, one, you're not gonna make any friends. Guys. I love threads. I just think people use it for bad, like, they're turning it into Twitter.
They're using it for bad. They're using it for evil.
It's true. It's true. But just talk about your own practice and how passionate you are about it. Like, maybe you'll speak to someone.
And I honestly resent the fact that you've asked me to do that.
It's just easier. Like, people, like, you'll get a ton of, like, interactions with the post, like, when you're being a butthole, but you won't get people who will stay on your page for being a butthole. Like, if they do stay on your page, it's because you're interesting, because you are a butthole. They don't really care what you have to say. They just want to
care about you.
So just keep that in your little back pocket, like, tuck it away.
Yeah.
And yeah, just inspire people in a good way rather than being an asshole.
Just join us this week. Every week we talk about creators that we are loving right now. This could be anybody from books, podcasts, Instagrams, just anything that we're really digging right now. That being said, if you have somebody you're really digging right now that you think the community would love to hear, we are taking listener submissions. Shoot us a DM, email us, whatever. Just send us something and we will do our best to share as many as possible. That being said, Maria, who is your choice this week?
So I actually chose, they're called Those Wicked Lines, and they have, like, they just released, like, well, not released, but showed, like, a video of them doing these cute little ceramic pumpkins, and they're so cute, and I want them so bad.
These are so stinking cute! I just pulled this out. This is so freaking cute!
Yeah, and then, like, oh my goodness. I really like her art style. She does, like, a lot of line art. But then she also does, like, illustrations and stuff. And I don't know. Just everything she makes is, like, very cute. And, like, it feels, like, kind of, like, folk magic-ish. And, oh, and they're mushrooms. Oh, my gosh. I love the mushroom ornaments. I want them so bad. I need those. I need those for my winter solstice tree. Please. Please.
This is amazing. Wow. I'm love that.
Right?
My pick this week is an artist called Camel City Glass.
Mm-hmm.
And specifically, they do these butterfly bookends. They do a bunch of really cool stuff, but the butterfly bookends is what I found. And I was like, yeah, 10 out of 10. I want that. They are bookends that are stained glass pieces that have butterfly wings.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, like, for especially for people who spend a lot of time curating their bookshelves to look, like, super pretty, I can just see that being, like, a really good combination with, like, a high fantasy fairy series.
Yes. Yes.
Could you imagine? Ugh, so cute.
Yes.
So, so good. Our listener submission this week is an artist called Rosie Ghost.
These are so cute.
Yeah, so these are really, really, really cute. But very specifically, they do pressed flowers with, like, little ghost seams.
Mm-hmm. I love those. Those are my favorite. I love that. I like the full moon one. The full moon one is so pretty. I want it.
They've done one that I don't know if it's intentional, but for those of you who know about where I live in Northern California, pretty close to Mount Shasta. Mm-hmm. And there's one that has, like, a mountain with, like, the meadow of flowers, the pressed flowers and the ghost.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes me think of, like, my area. And I think that's really cute.
Aww. We love, like, little ghosties just living their lives in scenes. Yeah. Isn't that just cute? Sweet? I love it very much.
Me too. Anyway, if you guys have somebody that you would like to send us so that way we can share it with the community, please do.
Yes.
Thank you all so much for joining us this week. We hope to see you again on Friday, October 4th for our Coffee Talk episode, or October 11th for the 15th episode of Season 5. You can keep an eye out on our social media or head to our website, coffeeandcauldrons.com, to see what we're up to and to find out more, et cetera, et cetera. Don't forget to join us on September 29th, Library Tearing Up, at 12:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time for our latest class, Tarot for Creativity, with Chelsea, Pip, and Mizzy.
Yes, and additionally, on our Patreon, Magical Beginnings, we offer our special 25-minute part 2 episode, a huge library of articles about witchcraft. Like, I literally just dropped a 40-page booklet on how to celebrate autumn. So, come on, come on, get down there, go look at all the spells and tarot spreads that you can utilize
in autumn. I also spent a lot of time organizing the Patreon the other day, so it's easy to find things. Yeah. You just have to go to the... what are they called? The little collections. Pick one and find what you need.
And Robin's going to be dropping a pickle article.
I'm almost done with it. I got distracted. I did get distracted doing other things for the Patreon that I haven't finished yet, but it's almost done. So it will be done probably by this weekend.
Yes, very excited. But also with that, we have, like, a Discord community that's full of fun events and discussions. Like, we literally have stuff going on every single week, and the discussions never stop and never cease. And we even have a tier that offers one-on-one conversations, like with Robin and myself, where we
have two tiers now, one without a box and one with a box.
Yeah, so we can help guide you if you need, like, some one-on-one assistance, like, with your craft and, like, learning, you know, how to make it your own.
Yes. So again, this is Coffee and Cauldron. Oh, just kidding. Pause. And please, if you are loving our sexy, sensual, chef's kiss voices, take a moment to review us on whatever streaming service, such as Apple Podcasts and Spotify, that you are tuning in from, or possibly even YouTube. Drop us a like. Drop us a follow. We would love to have you. And if you have that time to leave us a review, rating us with 5 stars helps us to be seen by others. And rating us really at all helps us to be seen. So we really appreciate that. So thank you to everyone who has taken that time. We appreciate you.
Yeah. And again, this is Coffee and Cauldrons.
With Robin from At a Tired Witch Everywhere.
And I'm Maria from At Maria the Arcane Everywhere.
Everywhere. Are you ready?
Yep.
One.